there are so many battles in life. Last night, on a lighter note of a battle, last night, Allison and I went to a movie, and as we were buying our tickets at the Rave Theater, I noticed the young African-American girl behind the counter had a Auburn necklace. It wasn't a necklace. It was a name tag type thing, and it was Auburn all over her band there. And I said, "War Eagle." And she got a big smile on her face, and she said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "You know, the trophy's at Chantilly. You know, you can go see the trophy." And, "Well, what's all," and I got excited with her, you know, Allison and I both. And, "What's all that excitement about?" It's about a battle. Last Monday, 6 days ago, Auburn University battled Oregon for the national championship. And there was a battle, and they fought it out to find out who would be national champions. There's battles on smaller levels than that. My little 9-year-old daughter, Anna, and I, there's a little game system that kids have these days. You probably know about them, called DSs, and Anna's always playing that DS with Christian, and they're always battling it out. And, well, this past week, I played it with Anna, Super Mario Brothers. And the idea of the whole game is, she plays hers, and I have another one, and they're synced up together. Our modern technology is incredible, but they're synced up together. There's no wires or anything. They're just synced up. And the idea of the game is whoever gets 10 stars first wins. Well, she killed me every time. And there was a battle going on because I didn't let her know too much, but I was upset at the end of that thing. I could not beat her, my 9-year-old daughter. I used to be good at those video games. Beat me every time. And that was a small battle. And then battles get a lot bigger than that. Many of you in this room have battled, risking your lives for our country in war, that we might have the freedom that we enjoy today. Many have lost their lives in those battles. Battle where life and death is on the line. The war we've had in Iraq, and you think about those battles. And then spiritually, there are battles daily, moment by moment. If you are a Christian, as you live your Christian life all day long, you are in a spiritual battle. You are on the battlefield. There is a battle going on, and you've got to be aware of that. God tells us clearly in His Word that you're in battle if you're a Christian. There's a battle going on. There is an enemy, and there's some things you need to be doing to be prepared, to defend, and sometimes to be on the offensive against the enemy. And that spiritual battle is going on right now as you listen to these words, as you seek to hear from God. There's a spiritual battle going on as you seek to worship your King, your Creator, your Lord, Jesus Christ. There's an enemy who does not want that to take place. There's an enemy that just wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. God tells us in Ephesians 6:10 through 20, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Well, the title of this message this morning is Game On. Game On. In this battle, I want to take that first word, game, G-A-M-E, to help you remember. And let's take that first letter, the G. And you need to know from this passage of Scripture that God is telling you the game is on. The game is on right now. And here's the point. If you're a Christian, you are on the battlefield right now. You are on the battlefield if you are a Christian. We see that in verses 10 through 12. And God tells us, because you're in the battle right now and you are always on the battlefield as a Christian, continuously, it doesn't stop. Satan doesn't leave you alone. And because of that, God tells you first and foremost, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So there's your strength. You're in the battle, but He is your strength. God says, be strong in me. I've got all the power. Nothing can defeat me. Satan is my lackey. I made him. He used to be an angel. And he fell. I'm far, far, far more powerful than Satan. And he that is in you, if you are a Christian, Jesus Christ, God Himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. The worst possible enemy, the greatest evil in our world, Satan himself, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So God says, be strong in me. Be strong in the Lord. He is your strength. And in His mighty power. Because, why? You're in a battle. You're constantly in a battle. And then he says in verse 11, the next verse, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So God tells you, be strong in me. Here's, know where your strength is. I'm your strength. And then he says, but put on the armor. You're in a battle. You need to have the armor on. How foolish would it be to go out on a battlefield with no armor? Subject to the enemy. Anything the enemy wants to do to you. You need armor, don't you? And God says, you're in a battle. You're constantly in a battle. Put on the armor. Go ahead and put the armor on. Put on the armor of God. The full armor of God. Well, why? Why do we need this armor? Because the enemy is real. Satan is not a little red figure with a pitchfork sitting on your left shoulder and an angel on your right. Satan is a true force, your true enemy, a being that can disguise himself as an angel of light. He can look great. He can look wonderful. He can look like the right thing. But he is the enemy, and the enemy is real. You know, there's a number of people today who don't even believe in the devil. Oh, that devil stuff. There's a devil behind every bush. Yeah. You've heard it before. But you know, that's exactly what he wants. Then he's really got you. If you don't even realize that he's there, he's got access. So many people blind and lost don't even realize that Satan is their father, that they are captive. They don't even realize it. They might not even believe in him. And yet, they're subject to him. They're captured by him. He's got them. The enemy is real. And God tells us to put on this armor. And why does he say it in verse 11? Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So not only is he real, not only do you truly have a real enemy, the devil, Satan, but he actually has schemes. He has plans. He's intelligent. He's got a plan. He's got schemes. He's calculating how he can steal, kill, and destroy from you. He's got a plan. So we've got to have the armor on. We've got to have the armor on to stand against the devil's schemes. Well, this word scheming, he's scheming. He's actually actively working against you. What does that look like? Well, I remember many months ago now, John Allen, my 12-year-old, had seen advertisement on TV for this banjo minnow, and it's a fishing lure, and you can get this banjo minnow, and he thought it was the coolest thing. I hadn't even seen it on TV, but he was always talking about this banjo minnow. So I went ahead and we went to the Bass Pro Shop and actually found it at the Bass Pro Shop. So we bought the banjo minnow and came home and popped the DVD in and started watching how to use the banjo minnow. And what was our point? Our point in buying the banjo minnow and learning how to use it, we were scheming. We were scheming against the fish. And we bought that and we learned about how to use it so that we could go and we could go to a lake and we could cast it in. We could use it just the right way so that we would have something that would deceive these fish, that would fool them, and we'd scheme against them so that they may bite and think they're getting something great, and then we hooked them and we got them. And the devil is doing the same thing to you constantly, day in and day out. He has schemes. He's scheming against you. And Jesus is the fisher of men, but he's a fisher of men too. And he casts out and he schemes against you, and he gets that bait ready and he has it looking all nice, and he tries to deceive you with different things. And then many times, often, we bite. And then he hooks us. And he's got us. And then we're hooked. And sometimes it's, I don't know what it is for you, but maybe we get hooked by him. It's hooked on meth, or maybe it's hooked on alcohol, or maybe it's hooked on cigarettes, or maybe it's hooked on food, or exercise, or work, or pornography, or you name it. But he gets us, and then we're hooked. And he's got it. He's got you. He's got you hooked. And only Christ can set you free. Only Christ can take you off and clean you up. I don't know what your idols are. I don't know what he uses to deceive you. Relationships sometimes. Maybe there's a person that if you're not careful, you love them more than him. And he's got you hooked using that person. Many times it's a good thing. He uses a good thing. But it's not the best thing. He can get us hooked. Anything we take into excess or take it outside of how God wants us to use it, then he gets us hooked. So we've got to have that armor on. We need that armor to stand against the devil's schemes. Well, then he tells us in verse 12, as the video also indicated, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How many of you know your struggle is not against people? It's not against that person. It's not against the one you think it's against. well, he did this and she did this, and my battle is against her. It's all her. No, it's not. There's the spiritual forces of evil behind her. There's Satan and his influences. And maybe that's why she's acting that way. Maybe that's why he's acting that way. Look beyond the flesh and blood. Your battle's not against the flesh and blood. It's against Satan. It's against the spiritual forces of evil. You need to be praying for that person that you think it's against. Pray for the flesh and blood, that the Lord would set them free, that they'd be your brother and sister in Christ, that He'd be their Heavenly Father. Well, and the devil is not passive. He's actively scheming, isn't he? He's actively working against us. I remember when Jesus told the story, he told a parable about a farmer who sowed all his wheat in the field, and then an enemy came at night and sowed weeds in the field. Well, that took work, didn't it? That was an active enemy sowing weeds in that field. And in our lives, Satan is actively working against us. You see it oftentimes in your life. Have you ever tried to do something for the Lord, or God's tried to use you in a big way, and maybe you were supposed to do something and you knew it was for the Lord, you knew it was for His glory, and I don't know what happened for you, but maybe there was some distractions, some different things started happening to prevent you from doing this thing. Sometimes you can see the enemy. Sometimes you can see his hand working against you. I often find that to be the case. If I'm going to do something, the Lord's going to use me, and I sense that, sure enough, boy, there'll be some distractions, some things that'll nearly prevent me from doing it, and prevent me from doing it sometimes. Sometimes I'll back off because something will happen. There'll be an interruption, a distraction, and maybe I don't have that armor on. Well, you've seen it before. You've seen it in your own life. I remember specifically one time, this is just a simple little thing. I remember waking up early one morning and I remember God teaching me this point. I remember waking up early one morning and getting everything ready, and I wanted to spend some time with the Lord. I needed to just be in God's presence. I needed to just spend some time with the Lord. And I remember I had my devotionals ready and all this and got to where I wanted to be and then spilled my coffee all over everything. And then I knew I was going to have to spend about the rest of the time I had cleaning up. And then it was going to be time to go to work rather than spending that time with the Lord. And that was the message that I got from it, from the Lord, just that Satan will do anything he can, that he doesn't want that happening. And that distractions and interruptions will come. And oftentimes the enemy will be behind them to prevent you from doing what God wants you to do. Watch out. Be on alert. Scripture tells us that many times. Be alert. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be alert. We've got to have that armor on. Another time I remember it, in 1997 when God had called me to ministry. I remember being in my one-bedroom apartment in Auburn, and I remember I was about to graduate from Auburn and in economics, and I didn't even like economics. And I was about to graduate in that, and God had really transformed my life. He had, in that last year of college, through a lot of Christian radio and things like that, I wasn't following Him. And I was religious. I was going to church more than a lot of college students. But I really wasn't following Him. A lot of things were before the Lord. A lot of things were ahead of Him, and that was His message to me. It was, Derek, are you willing to put me first in your life above everything? And I struggled with that for a long time, with alcohol and cigarettes and other things I don't even want to mention. And I struggled with that. Derek, are you willing to put me first in your life above everything? And He got me to that point. And I remember just calling out to him and just saying, Lord, yes, I am tired of messing around. I just want to give you my life. And he began to radically change my life that last year of college. And I remember being right at the end of it. And I remember one time just being on my balcony at that one-bedroom apartment. And I remember just realizing that, you know what, it's not economics for me. You know what, I'm not going to be happy unless I'm doing something for the Lord full time, unless I'm just serving the Lord. And God was beginning to call me to ministry. And later on, I got back to Montgomery and started talking to some different pastors and talked to Jay Wolf and Carl Stegall, who married Allison and I, and got to talking to them about how I was feeling, what's going on. And God began to reveal more and more to me that He was calling me to ministry, that He wanted me serving Him. And in full-time ministry. And so, the next step was, I remember Jay telling me that I needed to make that known to the church. You know, come, and it was a Sunday night. I remember I was supposed to walk down the aisle and just let everybody know, you know, God has called me to ministry. And I'm considering seminary now. And I remember even that day, God confirming it to me. I think it was that day. I remember driving. I used to drive on a delivery type route, and I remember through Christian radio this song or something coming on, and the message God spoke to me was that I needed to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And I remember praying that, just saying, God, here am I, send me. And it was just all I knew that's what God wanted me to do, just step out and just walk before the church and let them all know that. And you know what? I experienced Satan. I experienced the resistance of Satan. And I remember that night in the old sanctuary at First Baptist, I remember just sitting in the pew. I remember it was on this side, and I remember the service was almost over, and it was almost time for me to go walk down and let everybody know this. And I had the worst fear in the world. I can't describe it. I was like just clung to that pew, and I almost couldn't go. It was like I was so afraid. Like, this is a mistake. This is the wrong thing. I'm not supposed to go. And it was the attack. It was the attack of Satan. And it was powerful. And I was so afraid. But I stepped out and I went. And I know I did what God wanted me to do. But sometimes He'll prevent you if you're not careful. The devil will keep you from God's will, keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Resist him. Resist the devil. Be strong in the Lord. Have that armor on. So the game is on, and that brings us to the A, which is armor on. Put your armor on. Put the armor on. Suit up. Put on the armor of God. We see that from verse 13 on, God tells us how to put it on specifically. And you pray it on. You pray it on. You put it on by prayer. He says in 13, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. And then he goes into each piece of this armor. Well, how do you put it on? How do you armor up? How do you suit up? You pray it on. I like to do it at the end of my prayers in the morning, just spending some time with the Lord. And that's about the last thing I do, is just pray on that armor. Lord, I'm about to head out in the day. Lord, and you just pray it on. Lord, please, right now, and you can do it visually if you want. If there's nobody around and you want to look kind of weird, if you're in that private prayer place, you can put it on. You know, you put on that belt of truth. Lord, I'm praying on the belt of truth. That, Lord, everything that happens today, that I'll just walk in your truth. I'll just live by your truth. Lord, I'm not going to believe any lies, anything that comes up today. And I know your truth. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm not going to believe the devil's lies. I'm going to go with your promises and your truth. And you put on the belt of truth, and then you put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is his righteousness. And thank God it's not a righteousness of your own. You're not trying to live all day long trying to be as good as you can and maybe you'll be righteous enough that day. No, that's not it. It's His righteousness. You get to put on the righteousness of Almighty God. By your faith in Jesus Christ, He has covered you in His righteousness. And you just pray on, Lord, thank You for this breastplate of righteousness. Lord, my faith's in You, Jesus, and so You have declared me righteous. I am righteous in Your sight. I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ before God. Thank You, God. And you put on that breastplate of righteousness, and then you put on, I just like to call them the shoes of the gospel of peace. And then you put those shoes on, and you say, Lord, help me to boldly and fearlessly speak in Your name today. Wherever You take me, whatever I do, let me shine brightly for You. Let me go, and Lord, with the shoes of the gospel of peace, Lord, let me share Your word with people. And then do whatever you have to do. Bring little booklets with you. And as you put those shoes on, He'll give you those opportunities. He'll present that before you. This past week, I was at the Social Security office, and my card's all messed up, and I had to get a new card done. And I had to sit there for an hour and 15 minutes. And I was seated there, and on my right was a middle-aged black lady, and then her daughter, and then in front of me was another black lady, and then there was another couple over here, and they were all talking with each other, and I wasn't really talking, and they were talking about smoking, and this lady in front of me was saying, I've had an open heart surgery. And, yeah, I'm supposed to stop smoking, and I'm trying to stop smoking. And this lady said, well, I just quit. And so I just piped in, and I said, yeah, I quit, too. You know, I quit quite a while ago. And they were like, how'd you do it? And I got to tell them. I said, well, you know, for me, it was God. It was Jesus Christ. It was His power. And I got to share, and then we started just talking about Jesus. And then, like, for the next 30 or 40 minutes, there's about four or five of us all sitting there just talking about the Lord, talking about Jesus and God and church and how He works in our lives and all this. And then I got to give the lady in front of me a tract because I wasn't sure if she truly knew Him yet or whatever. And so she took that willingly, loved taking that. And then right after that, another gentleman came and sat here. He was a large, large guy. And he had been... I started talking to him. Matter of fact, I think I just started with this. I just said, would you like to have one of these? And he looked at it and he said, yeah, I'll take one. And he was like, yeah, you know, he was like, I know that I need to be thinking about that kind of thing. He said, look at this. And, you know, he pulled his head off and he had been shot in the head. And he worked at a bar. He was a bouncer somewhere around Day Street. And he said, yeah, I just got shot. It was like a few months ago. And he said, you know, and I'm totally thinking about God all the time now. And, you know, I'll take this. And I said, well, you share it with somebody else if you don't need it. And he was telling me about how he has a testimony now, how he can show that to people and talk about the Lord. And we've got to have those shoes on, the shoes of the gospel of peace, that we're ready to share the gospel wherever we are. And then we put on the shield of faith. And I think about, for some reason, I think about the movie Contact. None of y'all probably ever saw it, but it was a movie with Jodie Foster. And she was in this, it was like a science fiction movie, and she had to go to another planet. And when she's on this other planet, she had to have an environment that she could live in. So she had this sphere, this clear sphere would cover her, and it was her shield. And then she could do anything she wanted on that planet. And that has always stuck with me, that is the shield of faith. And then I need to pray on the shield of faith, and I need to say, okay, Lord, maybe you press some button, shoo, and then just imagine the presence of God around you in a sphere, you know? And that's how you're going out today, against the devil's schemes. He can't do anything against you. You're in the presence of Almighty God, and you're going to walk in that sphere everywhere you go today with the presence of God surrounding you and His shielding you. And so you put on that shield of faith, and then you put on the helmet of salvation, and you say, Lord, guard my mind, and thank You for this great salvation. And Lord, would You take every thought that I have today and make it obedient to You? And then you pick up that sword of the Spirit, and that's the only offensive weapon. But that's what Jesus used to slice and dice up the competition, didn't He? The devil led Him out into the wilderness. Every time the devil came at Him, what did He do? He just pulled out that sword. Just cut up that enemy with the sword. And that's your offensive weapon. However the devil comes against you today, be alert, be on guard. Have that scripture ready. get it into your heart, and you just quote that scripture, the devil's got to run, he's got to flee, he can't do anything to that, he can't stand up to it. It cuts him up. And you grab that sword of the Spirit, and then you've prayed on the armor, then you're ready. You're ready for the battle. You've prayed on the armor. And I know we're running out of time, so lastly, the M stands for maintain a spirit of prayer. Maintain a spirit of prayer. Stay in prayer. Pray without ceasing, the Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians. I've heard my pastor say before that he doesn't say amen. You know, it's a good idea. Go ahead and finish your prayers maybe in the morning, and instead of saying amen, over and out, why don't you say amen, up and connected. In other words, you don't even need to say amen. Really, finish your prayers in the morning and say, God, now I'm connected to you, and we're just going to walk together all day. I'm just going to be talking to you all day. We need to live in that state of prayer. Maintain that spirit of prayer. Pray in the Spirit on all kind, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And be alert. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And then he says, keep on praying for all the saints. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. Maybe you need a prayer journal. Maybe your prayer life's not organized enough. And maybe you see somebody at church and that you hear their ailment and you say, well, I'll pray for you. And then have you ever forgotten? And you wanted to with every intention. Well, we need to write that down immediately. Maybe you have a prayer journal. And as soon as you hear that request, just go ahead and write it down. Or if you think you're going to forget, go ahead and pray with the person. Say, well, you know what? Let's just pray right now. And you just pray with them right there. And then keep that prayer journal. It's so amazing how God answers all those prayers as you pray. And God says we need to be praying for each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then finally, the E stands for enjoy the prayers of others. Enjoy the prayers of others. The Apostle Paul right here said, pray for me. Please don't ever feel like you shouldn't ask for prayer. Oh, they don't need to bother with me. They don't need to pray for me. My goodness, this is the Apostle Paul. You would think he had it all together. Now, we know the truth. He didn't. But he was saying, pray for me. We need to not be ashamed, not be afraid to ask others to pray for us. I appreciate it. The other night, y'all prayed for me. I had a colonoscopy coming up. No big deal with a lot of the stuff you guys are going through. But I was intimidated about it. And y'all prayed for me. And I have a little prayer group, too. I can send an email to some friends. You know, y'all pray for me. You need that. Ask others to pray for you. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you for, Lord, your armor, Lord, that you equip us with. Lord, thank you for telling us, waking us up, telling us that we are in a battle constantly. And, oh, Lord, we thank you that you've given us everything we need, Lord. Help us to pray this armor on all the time, Lord, and keep it on. Help us to stay in a spirit of prayer all day, every day, just walking with you, talking with you. Let us be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, all those around us. Lord, let us not be afraid to ask others to pray for us. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that needs you, Lord, maybe they've felt like they're in the battle alone. Maybe they feel like they realize they don't know you as their Lord and Savior. And they don't even have the armor. They know that they're captivated by the enemy. They're captured. And Lord, they just need you to set them free. Lord, would you help them to pray right now, saying, Lord Jesus, I come to you right now. I just need you to save me. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. I thank you. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.